So we're continuing our series about pre-deciding and the power that is present in deciding in advance of who you are and whose you are and how you will react to things that happen in your life. Our lives reflect the decisions that we make. If we consistently make good decisions, we'll likely find ourselves in a good spot. However, there are times in our life when we are impacted by the decisions of others. Somebody else decides something and that impacts our life in a meaningful and an important way. There are moments in life where things happen to us that we can't control what is happening and we can only react. And the truth of it is, the only thing that you can control in situations like that is how you choose to respond. This is where the power of pre-deciding whose you are and who you are and how you are going to act in the world really pays off. Because you can control the reaction that you make to the things that happen to us in our life that are beyond our control. If we have pre-decided who we are here to serve, if we have decided that we will act in a Christ-like way, the chances of you reacting in that way are a lot higher than if you're just allowing yourself to react to the emotional response that we have when things happen to us that are beyond our control. We may be able to not just react to something, but control how we respond. In this sermon series, we've watched repeatedly as Daniel and his friends have benefited from pre-decisions that they have made. Decisions to be ready, decisions to be faithful, decisions to be consistent, and decisions to be generous. Today's scripture, we're going to talk about the power of pre-deciding. In today's scripture, we see one of the ugliest human emotions play a part, that of jealousy and envy. Daniel has decided that he is going to be devoted to his Lord no matter what. So as Laura talked about in Children's Moment, we're talking about the story of Daniel in the lion's den, but we're not going to get all the way to the lion's den. What we're seeing is the decisions that are leading up to Daniel being tossed into the lion's den. And we all remember what happens. He gets tossed into the lion's den and the lions don't touch him. And he comes out unharmed. But our text today is Daniel 6, 1 through 10. It sort of is the part that leads up to him being tossed into the lion's den. And the new king now is Darius. Nebuchadnezzar has moved on and the new king is Darius. And he, by the way, is very pleased with Daniel and the work that Daniel is doing for him. So it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps stationed throughout the whole kingdom, and over them three presidents, including Daniel. To these, the satraps gave account, so the king might suffer no loss. Soon, Daniel distinguished himself above all the other presidents and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king planned to appoint him over the whole kingdom. This is the ugly part. So the presidents and the satraps tried to find grounds for complaint against Daniel in connection with the kingdom, but they could find no grounds for complaint or any corruption because he was faithful. And no negligence or corruption could be found in him. The men said, "We shall not find any ground for complaint against this Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of his God." So the presidents and the satraps conspired and came to the king and said to him, "O King Darius, live forever. all the presidents of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps, the counselors and the governors are agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an interdict that whoever prays to anyone, divine or human, for 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be thrown into a den of lions. Now, O king, establish this interdict and sign the document so that it cannot be changed, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked. Therefore, King Darius signed the document and the interdict. Although Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he continued to go to his house, which had windows in its upper room open toward Jerusalem, and to get down on his knees three times a day to pray to his God and praise him, just as he had done previously. Does this sound familiar? It's sort of the exact same plot line that happened with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, except that King Nebuchadnezzar was not encouraged. He just like made this big gold statue and said everybody has to worship it. In this story, the other presidents, the other leaders outside of Daniel have conspired to create this situation in which Daniel is forced to choose between worshiping his God, being devoted to his God and his faith, or obeying the king. The king makes a decree because these jealous nobles have set Daniel up, and then they come and they tattle to the king, right? Oh, your friend Daniel, he's not following your rule. And it ends up that he is in the lion's den. Daniel knew the edict had been put out, and he didn't care. Because Daniel had pre-decided that he was devoted to his God. And the king, once he realizes it, that this edict gets Daniel in trouble, but he has to follow through because Daniel has pre-decided that he's devoted to serving his God no matter the cost. You know, the king was really saddened, actually, that he had to throw Daniel in the lion's den. He had been set up by his people who lied about what was happening. You know, I look at this story and I think about some people claim that scripture is irrelevant in our life, that it was written 2,000 years ago by some people who don't know anything about the world in which we live. I mean, and people look at this story and say, well, there's no way anybody's going to ever end up in a lion's den because they're worshiping God. It's not relevant to my life. But I would say au contraire. Scripture is always relevant to our life, because scripture so often speaks to the human condition. It speaks to the decisions that we have to make as a follower of Christ. Are we in or are we out? Am I devoted? Am I committed? Or am I just dipping my toe in? So today I'm going to show you a video clip of sort of a real life situation about the power of pre-deciding who you are and how you're going to respond to the things in life. This comes from a movie that came out in 2011. It's called Courageous, and it follows the story of these about four or five different people and sort of really their struggle to be good fathers, to be good Christian fathers, and sort of how that plays out in their lives. And this particular little story is about Javier Martinez. Javier was an immigrant that was struggling to make his way in America, to provide for his family, and through some good luck, ended up with a good job at a manufacturing facility. And his boss, a Mr. Tyson, no relation, in a test has offered him a job managing shipping and inventory. But the owner of the company has said, there might be some moments when I'm going to need you to wink, wink, nod, nod at some of the paperwork that comes through here and some irregularities. And he has given Javier overnight to think about it. And Javier is now coming back into Mr. Tyson's office to share with him what he's willing to do. Ben, would you play that clip for me?
Good morning, sir. Good
morning, Mr. Martinez. How are you this morning?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
I don't know yet. Please, have a seat. I trust you've had time to think about our conversation yesterday.
Yes, sir, I did.
And what did you decide? Are you on my team?
Mr. Tyson, I am very grateful to have a job here. But I cannot do as you have asked.
And why is that?
Because it is wrong, sir. And it would be dishonoring to my God and my family to lie on that report.
Do you understand what this may do to your job here?
Yes, sir, I do.
Javier, may I shake your hand? Young man, you just gave me the right answer. I've been looking for someone to manage inventory and shipping, and quite frankly, you were the last person on my list. But I need somebody I can trust. Will you take the job? We'll adjust your pay.
I'd be honored to, sir.
Good. Then the job is yours. Now, Walter will go over all the specifics with you, and I'll make the announcement to the staff on Monday. Congratulations, Javier. Oh, and Javier, thanks for your integrity. It's rare.
Well done, Javier. After six times, I was getting discouraged.
That's the power of pre-deciding. I mean, he had overnight to think about it. He had an opportunity to say, oh, I'll go along to get along. It is his company, right? I can wink, wink, nod, nod at some irregularities. But he's decided that he is devoted to his God and that he wants to honor him. And that doing dishonest things would dishonor the God to whom he is devoted to serve. Javi has pre-decided that he will be an honorable man, that he will always do the right thing, even if it costs him an opportunity or even a job. This, my friends, is the power of pre-deciding whose you are. Who you are and who you will serve. In this movie, the character that's Javier chose to be devoted to his God. In our scripture, Daniel chose to be devoted to his God. No matter the circumstance. I mean, the scripture goes out of its way to make it clear to us as we read this that people would see him praying to his God despite this edict that has been issued by King Darius. And so Daniel continues with his devotion. Because he's already decided that he is devoted to serving his God, to serving his faith. So my question for you today is, when that moment comes in your life, when you have to decide, when you have to choose what or whom you will be devoted to, what will you do? How will you react? That is the power in pre-deciding as to who you are and to whose you are. I'm reminded of the passage from Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. Now, if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I want to amend that. I want to paraphrase that for you. Now, if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve. The masters of the world, the advertisers who tell you what you need. Choose this day whom you will serve. But as for my house, we will serve the Lord. So what is your decision? Whom are you going to serve? To who are you going to be devoted? A moment will come in your life, perhaps not unlike Javier's, in which you will have to decide who you will serve, who you will be devoted to. If you've already decided, the decision's pretty easy. There's power in that. So my question for you today is, whom are you here to serve? Let us pray. Almighty God, we ask that you would be with us. Help us to be devoted to you and only to you. Help us to walk closely with you that we may become more Christ-like in all that we do. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. So we're talking today about being devoted. As we gather here at the Lord's table, I'm reminded of the devotion that Jesus had. The devotion to each one of us to carry through with God's plan. No matter what. There was that moment in the garden in which he said to the Lord, he said, look, if it's possible to let this cup pass from me, I'd be good with that. But most importantly, I want to do your will. Jesus was devoted to his God, and he was devoted to us, devoted to paying the price that we might be forgiven, that we might be free. As we gather here around the Lord's table, I want to remind you of the devotion that Jesus had to his mission, to his God, and to each one of us. But it is because of his work, his death, and his resurrection that we are free, free from sin. Free from death, we have received the gift of eternal life. It is ours, and it cannot be taken from us. No matter who you decide to actually serve in this world, if your heart lies with Jesus Christ, no matter how many mistakes that we make, you are forgiven. And there is a place in the Father's house for you. Remember with me as Jesus gathered with his disciples on that last night. He took the bread, he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After supper, he took the cup. He again blessed it, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take and drink. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Almighty God, pour out your Holy Spirit on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us truly the body and blood of Jesus redeemed by his blood, as we are the hands and feet of Jesus in this world. Let your Holy Spirit come and fill our hearts with devotion to you. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.